Any discussion of this document or its contents will be regarded at the very least as an act of sedition, if not a willful act of treason.
Welcome to episode 2 of Pocketful of Awesome. As usual, I am PJ Perez, and sitting here to my front.
To your front. To your, really?
Yes.
We're just going to kick it off like that. It's to not your front.
You're at about 1 o'clock right now.
As opposed to being on your 6, and we've already derailed.
Right.
It's like 30 seconds in. That's PJ Perez. I am Mike Willoughby, also Mikey Vegas.
Your Mikey Vegas,
the Mikey Vegas,
your friendly neighborhood Mikey Vegas. Wow.
Yep.
Already we're there.
Yeah, we're not fucking around. So, who are today's sponsors, PJ?
Today's episode is brought to you by Scott McDonald, a good friend and fine maker of the most comprehensive Jell-O shot selection.
The most innovative,
yes.
Jell-O shots.
Well-organized, innovative, comprehensive Jell-O shot selection known to man. We were at his house the other night, and literally it was like 3 shelves in his refrigerator filled with color-coded, labeled containers of Jell-O shots.
Of Jell-O shots. Fabulous Jell-O shots.
You know what? I think that I might make that the photo for the post of this week, so we'll
Fantastic.
Put a picture up there.
We certainly do have enough of them to take a photo of.
Yes. I actually got a picture of the refrigerator.
Oh, you did?
Yes, yes.
Oh, fantastic.
I did.
Fantastic.
I could
As opposed to the middling selection that we have in your fridge today.
Right. Middling. There's what, like a dozen and a half in there?
It's a shoebox. It's
right.
A plastic shoebox full of Jell-O shots.
Also brought to you today by Mike's very own homegrown hot Polish voodoo.
The HPV.
We have spread around the HPV today, and it is a joy to have. It really is.
It really is.
And it's good shit, and honestly, I might do another shot.
It's delicious.
We only did one shot per of Patron last week because... we only had this mini bottle I'd gotten as a gift from some party I went to. And also brought to you today by Simpler Times Lager, which takes you back to a time before taste was an issue. Available at your neighborhood Trader Joe's for, like, I don't know, $4 for a six-pack. It's pretty ridiculous.
It is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just about PBR priced. It's just about...
And, curiously enough, makes you make the whiskey face every time you take a swig out of the bottle. It really is a trip back
wow.
to simpler times.
6.2% alcohol by volume.
All right, fuck it. Not, my opinion has changed. At 6.2,
yeah,
why not?
You know.
Why not?
So, like to thank everybody who tuned in to our first episode last week. It was actually a minor rousing success.
Yeah.
Lots of kind words and people surprisingly wanting to... Whoa, geez. Sorry.
Have some more simpler times.
I'm using the pop filter that Mike brought in, and it's a little loose, just like Mike.
You can, yeah, insert your own joke there.
And also this week, I've set it up so that I'm not louder than Mike.
Which is a tragedy, really.
You know. I know people like to hear my smooth, sexy voice.
That's true. You sound like a swarthy Shadow Stevens.
Oh, man. I used to wake up every day to Shadow Stevens when I lived in L.A. That was great. Mike is doing another Jell-O shot.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much... And by the way, it's not even noon yet.
Mm-mm.
We didn't break noon today. It is 11:53. And I think we actually did the first round at like 11:30.
And what day is today, by the way?
Today is Valentine's Day.
And we're spending it with each other.
So
make, in a room.
Make your own jokes now.
like you wouldn't anyway.
My girlfriend left the house, and Mike and I are locked in a room together on Valentine's Day drinking. So this pretty much, this is going to turn out to be, you know.
It's full of win, PJ.
Yeah.
It really is. No, we win Valentine's Day.
If I thought you were my friend, I just don't think I could bear it.
That goes out to all the lovers out there.
It's true.
And in here.
It's true. And in here. Especially in here.
We should probably time it so we're not both drinking at the same time.
It doesn't
so,
matter.
Because I'm just going to cut it out later anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
I think the people want realism, PJ.
Well, it's real.
They want realism in me and you making out, judging by the comments.
It doesn't get much more real. I don't really see how on an audio-only broadcast that's even entertaining.
It doesn't really work, right?
You just want to hear.
I mean, it would just be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
That's not fun.
This is now turned from America's most awesome podcast to America's gayest podcast.
Well,
we weren't. Reminds me of the episode of the IT Crowd I watched last night.
Oh, you liking the IT Crowd, are you?
It's good.
Yeah?
It's good stuff. Courtesy of Scott McDonald,
of Scott,
who hosted the party with the Jello shots and a viewing of pretty much every episode of the IT Crowd in order.
Dude is amazing.
And he provided all the guests with totally legal copies of the show.
Yep, he went out and spent all kinds of money.
Yes.
Gave it to the BBC.
Yes.
To get those totally not...
100% legitimate
yep,
copies.
Absolutely. That are wonderful.
They are. It's good stuff.
They're like better than broadcast quality. So thanks, BBC.
Yes, BBC. So what are we going to talk about on today's show, for real, for these people?
We're going to talk about Valentine's Day, I guess. We just kind of talked
about
so Valentine's
that's off
Day.
Check.
So that's off check. our governor made a little speech the other day.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to talk about that. We also had a little PCU moment at the local university where there was a protest. That had a little something to do with that speech.
Yes.
We're starting a new feature this week, and we're starting it off in rare form with Ask the Awesome, where we answer listeners' questions. And, of course, we got some music.
Music, yes. We're going to be taking a listen to a couple of bands. One is one of Mike's favorites and his selection, Drag the River, who will be performing this Wednesday at Beauty Bar.
Wednesday,
which means
not
it'll
at
be
the
last
Beauty
night.
Bar.
No,
not at the Beauty
Sorry.
Bar. No, no, but we are going to talk about the Beauty Bar because that's where I was last night, and I had kind of an epic evening at the Beauty Bar. And so we'll get to that.
Fantastic.
Also. But no, they're actually going to be at the Frog, at the freaking
Sorry,
Frog.
My bad.
It's okay. It's okay. If you would read the show notes that you actually typed up, you would know that, but that's okay. It's okay, PJ. You know what? We're doing it loose.
I'm not a reader. I'm a writer.
And he is a drinker, folks. That's the second round of the hot Polish voodoo.
This episode brought to you by my dying liver.
It's good. Jesus. It's fun. I'm
not going to be able to read, actually.
I'm three Jello shots in. We're having some simpler times. This is going to be a simpler podcast. And then PJ is, I think, going to break out some White Lies.
The White Lies.
I mean... music.
Right.
As opposed to...
the usual white lies.
Right. That aren't that white when it comes to PJ.
No.
There's so much you don't know about him, folks.
Yeah, so maybe we should get on to talking about one of these things.
Yeah, let's pick something off the list. Hey! With the doink doink.
All right! That's our official transition for the week.
Just cold. Just... it doesn't work without just, like, some white text on a screen. Though.
Right.
I mean...
just picture, you know, Casa Awesome,
like
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, Thursday.
Right.
All right. So,
what are we talking about?
No, let's talk about the governor. Let's talk about his plan for the state and why you're a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Why I'm a whiny bitch.
Well, all of us. Yeah.
Governor Jim Gibbons, who we discussed last week. And really, I hope that we don't make this a habit. Of every episode being, you know, bash to the Gibbons.
Right.
But he delivered a State of the State address last week, mainly because he had to, in light of the budget crisis we discussed last week.
Impending catastrophe
yes,
on our state.
And he announced that he would be announcing a special session of our fine state legislature, which, by the way, something we didn't talk about last week. Our state legislature meets once every 2 years.
A biennium, as it were. A biennium.
which is a great way to run a freaking state.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on. Isn't that how you plan out your life? Is you just look ahead for 2 years and just run with it?
Dude, I can't plan out a day in advance.
That's kind of the point, isn't it?
But he gave this this address in which he, again, first he tried to bind us all together by saying we all shared a common independent spirit. Which was really just a way of saying, oh, you all hate big government, right? Yeah. And reiterating his campaign pitch of no taxes, no new taxes.
Well, really no taxes at all.
Right.
At all.
But, if that was in his control, absolutely.
Right.
No taxes at
right.
all. Which, of course, makes sense that he was basically making a stump speech because he is going to be running again as we... talked about last week, and that's not a shot in hell for him, but
whatever.
On top of that, he obviously discussed at length the education cuts that we had mentioned last week, which, if you were paying attention, could jeopardize anything from entire colleges in the state to massive layoffs at specific ones to eliminating athletic programs altogether.
Gutting pretty much everything but the hospitality program, yes. The hospitality management program.
Wow, you know, he really didn't offer a solution to anything.
Well, he did offer a solution, though, PJ. And his solution was twofold, okay? It was a two-pronged approach. It was, one, stop your whining. Literally, stop your whining. That we need to just sack up and, you know, and just do whatever Gibbons? Whatever.
That's what we're going to call him from now on. Gibbons.
Fits. It's actually a little bit better. And two, and I have two words for you here, and this is a theme, educational gift certificate. So I guess that's three words and a hyphen, really. Because gift certificate? No, it's not hyphenated? No. See, this is why I hang out with you, PJ.
Yeah.
Because I'm illiterate.
It's okay.
It's all right. So three words.
Education gift certificates. Which you can download from the state's website right now.
Right.
Basically, instead of implementing a tax that would pay for education across the board, his idea is, well, if you want to pay for it, go ahead. That's right. It. Voluntary taxism, basically, is what he's proposing.
Which works.
Not only proposing, but has actually instituted.
Right.
So that money, and that money, by the way, will only go directly to impact teacher salaries.
Of course.
Did you hear him say that part?
Oh, yeah. No, that it should be like a tip jar.
Yeah.
For teachers.
It's not for programs or anything more diverse than that. It's simply for teacher salaries.
Right. Which makes sense. I mean, you know, since we're such a tip-based economy.
And
down
as far
here,
as I could tell, that was only K through 12, right? That did not affect secondary education.
I'm sure it didn't. I mean, again, I can't confirm that because I was busy screaming at the radio when I heard it. So, I mean, really, it was linguistic hate crime, PJ. That's really what it was. It was, seriously, it was like an hour and a half of my ears getting violated, which is not unlike our podcast,
curiously enough.
It's very close to that.
So you can write to your congressman if you have a problem with us violating your ears.
Yeah, please do, if you would.
He also talked about, I guess instead of focusing on, and I was a little confused by this, his idea basically, and I guess he laid this out in a proposal that he gave to the legislature like a month ago, was to let every school system in the state fend for itself, basically, instead of having funding across the board, which this kind of makes sense because if you look at the difference between, say, a rural community and an urban community such as Las Vegas or Reno, where, you know, you may have problems such as 40 students to a class, but he said, oh, you know, we'll leave it up to the individual districts to determine what's best for them instead of mandating it on a state level, which basically sounds to me like we're not going to take responsibility for anything.
Right.
You guys are on your own.
Well, and that's not just funding. That's funding, that's curriculum, that's all of this stuff. And this is just a setup for just an unholy gambit of an unequal education in this state. You know what I mean? This is rolling back a half century of progress to ensure that everybody gets some kind of decent baseline of an education. And, you know, I mean, and if that's his idea for a solution, that's fine. I mean, if it's your idea, it's a bad idea. And that's the thing. This doesn't have anything to do with the rest of his very human failings. This is just a lack of ideas at this point. Just do whatever you want. Just fend for yourself. Buck up, bootstrap yourself, do whatever. Maybe send some text messages to a former Playboy playmate. I don't know. Whatever gets you through the night, and good luck. I mean, really. Oh, and by the way, stop whining.
Right.
Literally said, stop whining. I mean,
how could you not reelect this man?
Really?
He's so inspiring to us all.
He is.
It makes us all feel so warm and welcome in this battle-born state.
Right. And yeah, believe me, we are battle-born. He will remind you of that. And I think he did, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
That we were, in fact, battle-born.
That was like the big moment in his speech when he, you know, talked about how the state came out of the Civil War and how we were born to fight, and that's, by the way, our state motto, battle born.
Battle born. That's us.
That's great. We were born in the midst of a giant war over that practically did divide our country, but practically divided it permanently.
Which, right.
To be honest.
Right. Well, no, still.
I would have been fine if the South would have seceded.
I'm
just saying. No offense to anyone in the South, but you guys should be your own country.
Wow.
No, because
kind of blunts what I was about to say, which was if we had just let Sherman finish his job, we wouldn't have that problem now.
True.
And we would have had a bunch of extra land. I'm just saying. Mm. I'm just saying. And you could, you know, and rednecks, I don't fucking care. Do something. Like, that's all I've got. I don't care. I can hear you spitting your chaw right now and doing whatever. I grew up with you motherfuckers. I don't care. Well, you know what? If you could just enter the 20th century, that'd be fantastic. All right? And again, I'm sure there are good people someplace, you know, in the South somewhere. I don't know. I haven't fucking met any of them.
There are. It's kind of like Texas. It's like Austin is an awesome city.
Right.
But it's stuck in the middle of Texas.
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly.
There's pockets like that.
Right. Right. No, and again, and I will say, I was in New Orleans like a year to the day.
New Orleans not the South, though.
And this is the thing, right? It's in the South. It's in the South, but it's not the South.
No.
It's not the South. No, the people are wonderful and non-judgmental and not assholes, and they don't believe in hanging people from trees or dragging them behind pickup trucks or any of that stupid horse shit that you still see going on every once in a while. You know, it's... Anyway, I think we've alienated a whole region of the country at this point.
We have just lost cabin pressure.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Wow. In relation to the pending, the inevitable budget cuts to education, especially secondary education, higher education in the state. I'm two shots in and half a beer. Oh. Actually, three quarters. Okay.
Please.
So 5/6.
Right.
The fine students of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, organized a walkout last week.
Yes, indeed.
But they had a reason. They were heading downtown to the Grant Sawyer Federal Building, where the meeting of the State Finance Committee was, I believe.
Yes.
To, you know, pretty much say, hey, we're not going to stand for our education being cut because you guys can't get your shit together.
Right. Yeah, because you guys meet once a year to plan 2 years in advance, which is working out great for everybody.
Right.
And since you can't get your shit together, we're paying the price.
I think that Mike and I may or may not sit on somewhat, while we're on the same side of not getting our asses slashed left and right.
Right.
I think the UNLV students' approach, while it's commendable to organize a walkout and to do this, and it, you know, it's symbolic and it signifies, you know, solidarity. I don't think it's going to get much done, though. You know, no one sitting in that room at Grant Sawyer is going, oh, there's a bunch of UNLV students outside that we've known about for 3 days, and oh, let's all of a sudden change our plans and policies.
I have a little hole to punch in that there balloon, because it was part of what happened yesterday, which I don't know. There was a big old town hall meeting down at Grant Sawyer yesterday, which was actually brought about in response to... In no small part, the walkout. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know, and so, and here's where I think we agree, because I know that when the protest was going on, you made some friends online, as it were, with some online cynicism about this on the Twitters, and kind of got some hackles raised about that,
which is good.
Which is good.
Are passionate.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it means that they're paying attention,
right.
And specifically paying attention to you, really. Yeah. I mean...
Although I was accused by a friend of mine of not knowing what was going on.
Really?
Of, you know, it's maybe I made it sound like I didn't know why they were protesting. Oh, I knew.
Oh, yeah, you were aware.
I just didn't think it was as effective as...
Right. You know. Well, and that's kind of the point. And this is, I think, something that we all can agree on. And I know it was actually kind of a topic at the protest, which, by the way, was between, I want to say, like 500 and 600 people at UNLV. I don't know how many actually made it down to Grant Sawyer. But, I mean, that's a sizable crowd, especially for Las Vegas, and especially for college students in Las Vegas. You're saying that enough people were, I mean, and again, this was on, like, what, a Wednesday? right?
Something like that.
A Tuesday or a Wednesday. I mean, again, Thursday, we're drinking.
Right.
Which is kind of the point, right? Is that that's what young-ish people do in this town. That it's a real challenge. I mean, it's a challenge in any college town, but for us in particular, it's a real stretch to get the folks up off the couch, up out of the house, let alone in the middle of the week before noon on a rainy day. And right. We managed to pull like 500 plus.
Well, let's put that in perspective though. What's the student body population of UNLV?
Totally fucking irrelevant. This is what I'm saying. No, this is what I'm saying. That's part of the point that we even managed to get 500 is a miracle.
Right, and but I want to put it into perspective for people. Oh, God, dude. Because I don't have the latest numbers, but when I was last at UNLV or last paying attention to the numbers, which was a few years back, I believe the student body was somewhere in the, I want to say 20 to 30,000 range.
Right.
Which is that's the size Boulder City was 10 years ago. That's a city.
Well, and if you...
And 500 to 600 people.
Right.
Out of potentially...
Oh, no, absolutely.
Tens of thousands of people being affected
by
this.
No, it's pathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, it is pathetic. But, and that should just kind of illustrate how far my expectations have fallen. You know, because I was talking to some people over there. I was at the protest. I got out of my house and out of bed and everything and went over there. And I was talking to some people who were from, you know, from Berkeley and Boston and, you know, and all of these places. And they're like, where are the student organizations? Why isn't the student body motivated? And I was just like, welcome to Vegas. I mean, that's really all I had for them. You know, just to kind of double down on the sickness here, CSN, the community college here, has like double student body population, right? I mean, it's ridiculous. And you could count the CSN students that showed up to the UNLV thing on like one hand.
Well, to be fair, there's a greater number at CSN, but they are more remotely dispersed and demographically dispersed students.
I'm not saying that's the thing. It's still sad.
Oh yeah.
You know.
And they're honestly more in threat of being completely wiped out entirely.
Absolutely.
Than UNLV.
Yeah, because they're talking
UNLV's
about closing.
UNLV's not going anywhere.
No, I mean, UNLV is going to be here no matter what.
The level of education may go down. The athletics may disappear. You may not have any teachers left. But
here you're going to have five of them. They're just going to teach everything.
Right. But yeah, CSNs, and I mean that's one of the potential, and I talked about this last week, one of the potential plans is cutting out basically all the community colleges around
the
state.
Right, just kill campuses left, right, and center. So, at any rate, to wrap this up, protests are great, protests are fine, they make you feel good in the short term, and they make you feel like you did something, and whatever, but really, at the end of the day, what's better than a walkout is what?
A walk-in
right.
to voting booths.
There you go.
Because I wonder how many of those students who walked out actually bothered to vote not for someone named Jim Gibbons in the last gubernatorial election.
Right.
I mean, bear in mind, a lot of them probably weren't old enough.
No, a lot of them weren't.
But UNLV's median age is, I think, I want to say 26 or 27.
Yeah, we're not a young school.
This is not, yeah, I mean...
No, they're closer to me and you than they are to a high school senior.
Right.
Yeah.
You and I.
You whatever. PJ.
You're making yourself sound just like a moron.
To tens of people who already know that
whatever.
I am barely literate.
They love you, Mike.
Oh, sure they do.
You had all the best lines on the first
all
episode.
All the best lines.
And people were quoting them on Twitter, and it was amazing. It was great. We actually, you know, I was waiting for someone to tell us that something was terrible.
Oh, we got some comments. We got some comments about the terribleness. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't see them?
It's two things. It's two things. One.
Too long.
Too long. Obviously, right. Too long. We were accused of being in love with the sound of our own voices, which is kind of funny.
It's a podcast about two dudes. Well, not about, but it's a podcast featuring two dudes talking about stuff.
Right. Right.
What else was I supposed to do?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Do they want more sound effects?
I think they do.
I don't know. That just seems like too much.
All systems are functional.
That wasn't even relevant.
No, it wasn't.
I mean,
it wasn't. But it wasn't us.
Right.
So we're not in love with the sound of our own voices.
I thought you know what? Actually, got really good feedback on the musical segments.
People dug the music. Yeah. I mean, seriously, dude. I heard about it last night. As a matter of fact, from folks, they just came up
at the beauty bar.
The fucking beauty bar.
Did you want to talk about the beauty bar?
Yeah.
Wait, let's transition the scene.
All right.
Beauty Bar. Saturday nights.
11:45 p.m.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, last night I trucked it down to the beauty bar. I usually don't go to the beauty bar because I'm not cool enough to be there.
Your jeans aren't skinny enough.
They're, you know what? I can't get into pants tight enough to fit in down at the beauty bar. I just can't. Like, I'm uncomfortable. Other people are uncomfortable. Anyway, so I was at the beauty bar last night. Exene Cervenka, the lead singer of X.
I'm glad you pronounced her last name because I would have botched it on the first try.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Exene.
She has a new record out. It's fantastic. I mean, and not to mention, she's like one of my idols. You know what I mean? X was one of those bands that I grew up listening to. And I got to meet Exene last night. So that was my big rock star, red carpet, whatever moment. And she's tiny. She could fit in your pocket.
You should have taken her home in your pocket.
Seriously.
You should have brought her here.
Dude, nobody knew who the fuck she was. So again, thanks Vegas. Well done. You do yourself proud. She's a fucking legend.
Right.
If you're into alternative music or punk rock or whatever, I mean, that's some legendary shit going on. And
Absolutely. She's
cruising around the beauty bar. She's cruising around. Just like walking around. Dressed like a grandma. Just
right.
Wandering.
Well, she's probably a grandma by now.
She's grandma age.
She's up there.
But she always dressed like a grandma.
Right.
Though. Like,
yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, when in 77 or whatever, when their first record came out, she was dressing like a grandma. You know, so whatever. She still dresses the same way. Super tiny. Super sweet lady. Super nice. It was a pleasure meeting her.
Did you get your picture taken with her?
Fuck no.
Man.
No, I don't do that. You know, seriously, I don't.
Got nothing to give these people on our Facebook page. Which, by the way, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/pocketfulofawesome.
Pocketful of awesome. Yes,
we have
indeed.
A URL now.
We do.
I set it up this morning.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Didn't do it. I'm horrible. I'm
it's
bad
okay.
at the internet.
You'll be in charge of posting this episode.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't know how the hell you did that. But
it's a tall order.
Right. I take care of the official feed that goes to iTunes, which, by the way,
speaking
if you're listening
of,
to this on iTunes, make sure that you rate and review the show.
Yes.
We prefer positive ratings and reviews, but we'll take honest feedback.
We take honest feedback. I actually prefer the honest feedback. I, you know what? On a day-to-day basis, I get enough smoke blown up my ass. I don't need it for this.
Right.
So if you think it's...
Smoke blown up people's ass really isn't that uncomfortable if you think about it. It's just smoke.
It's true. It's true.
You know.
You just kind of
blow like
it
it's not like
afterwards.
A
foam. No.
Or like a broom.
Well, but how do you get the smoke up there? That's the thing. There's
you
some,
know what?
There's
I'd
tubing.
Have to say that the person doing the blowing of the smoke is probably at a far greater risk than I am
it's
receiving it.
It's not going to be... It's you're talking about flesh-to-flesh contact there, Chief, and that's highly, highly unlikely. I'm just saying that that's a really ineffective way of blowing smoke.
Right.
So anyway, the second... So my little rock star moment last night at the beauty bar, and people told me, "Hey, thanks for the heads up on the music," which was cool.
Right,
that was pretty fantastic. Side note, I met somebody mildly famous 20 years ago. Whatever, super
right.
important to me, super sweet. And then the back to the complaints. See, because I'm bringing it around.
Right,
because I can remember these things. Bringing it around to the other complaint, we actually received two complaints that I didn't talk. About Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was only because you mentioned... Because I think you mentioned in passing on Twitter, or someone mentioned about gaming, or you talking about Modern Warfare, and I said something to the effect of, like, that's not going to happen, or... I don't know. I dismissed it. In case anyone doesn't know, I haven't owned a gaming system since the Sega Master System came out in 87. So, I am pretty far out of gaming. Not that I have anything against it, I just don't know... It's like wrestling. I don't know dick about it.
It's not like wrestling.
And I don't want it. Well, no, I'm not
it's
saying
not like wrestling
I'm not saying
at all,
that
bro.
Gaming and wrestling
yeah.
are the same.
Yeah.
I'm saying my familiarity with gaming is about the same as my familiarity with wrestling.
Okay.
I know that there's a Triple H. I just don't give a shit. I know that there's
wow.
Modern Warfare. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, no, we're actually up to Modern Warfare 2.
Whatever.
But
I got
you
that.
Know, but you don't care. It's okay.
And you could talk about it.
No, it's okay.
As I told people, I would just sit here and you know, do other stuff while you're talking.
No, I actually, there are a few funny stories that I have. And for the uninitiated, I'm an Xbox Live or an Xbox 360 owner. So I play on Xbox Live. No, I am not going to give you my gamer tag. If you need to know my gamer tag, I'm easy to find. I'm not that difficult to find. But it's amusing, and I'll tell you why it's amusing.
Butt Licker 85.
No, but one of the stories does involve a nice young man with the gamer tag of Ballsack Sitta 93.
Wow.
Right.
I'm really upset that he took that, because now I have to be 94.
Right.
And that's just not right.
Right, right. and no, what's amusing to me is that there are fully two classes of people on the Xbox Live. Okay, there are the grown-ass men, like me and the people that I generally play with, and 13-year-old boys.
So basically, there's one class inside.
Oh, ouch. Hurting me. It's okay. I mean, that's the thing. No.
This coming from a guy.
From a dude who makes comic books. Right. Right. No, and so it's just like this interesting dichotomy, because, you know, these are like dudes with families, and like there are some stay-at-home dads that I play with, and, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And the fucking verbal harassment that we take from 13-year-olds, dude, is mind-boggling. It's fucking phenomenal. I mean, it is seriously some shit that if somebody said to you on the street, you would do that Southern tradition of just fucking stringing them up to a tree, dude. You wouldn't fucking tolerate that. I guarantee, and I know you're a mellow guy and you're like, you're kind of a pacifist, but you know that story you told last week about threatening to kick somebody's ass? Oh, dude, you would have just fucking curb stomped somebody for some of the shit
that gets
said.
We're friends on Facebook now, by the way. Joe Bergen and I are friends on Facebook. As we should be.
You should be. Yeah. You should. Well, because nothing actually happened.
No.
It was just idle threats.
And, you know, I realized that he's 2 years younger than me, so the dude had to be like 15 at the time. Because I was almost graduating high
asshole.
School. Well, and that's what I'm saying. They were all young. They were him and his friends that we overlapped, they were young guys. And I was like about to, you know, graduate high school and become a man.
Is that how that works?
A man.
Your mans.
I'm more man than I need to be.
Aren't we all, though? I mean, especially the two of us.
I was looking at like old pictures of my old bands, and there may have been a few shirtless pictures of the PJ.
Oh, I've seen a couple
and
of those, yeah.
I was like, when did I get chest hair? Because I didn't have it then. I mean, it was in sprigs. It was in like light little sprigs. And now I'm like a woolly mammoth. And I mean, you figured this would have happened right after puberty, like, bam, okay, you're a hairy dude.
Yeah,
but no, it took like years to progress.
Yeah, it comes in. It's like
so
creeping mold.
Yeah, I can't do the
Sure you can. Glenn Danzig does. Come on, buddy.
He's not that bad. I don't know. I don't look at Glenn Danzig's chest.
He's not that bad.
Glenn Danzig. Oh my God.
Danzig.
I wish that you know, that reminds me of a promo for a Danzig concert back in 94 or 95. They were running on the radio. And no kidding, this is the tagline of the promo. Like a back fist to the brain. And I'm like, do I really want to go to a concert?
Wow.
That's like a back fist to the brain?
I wasn't looking to have my brain back fisted today. Thank you kindly, Glenn Danzig.
And then for some reason, okay, so the latest episode of my my weekly webcomic, The Utopian, I named it Can't Speak. Because there's the main character is having a dream where he's immobilized in a hospital bed and he can't speak. And I just looked up the song title to make sure that it was, because I remembered it being one word,
right?
Can't speak, all
right.
Like smushed together.
Yes.
And it was, but I looked it up and I haven't listened to that song literally in like 15 years. And I was a pretty big Danzig fan when I was in high school.
Yeah,
like Danzig 1 and Danzig 2, fucking amazing albums, you know.
Yeah, that was some
great,
raw shit going
great
on there.
Blues based metal punk. I don't really know how else to
right.
describe
it. No, I think that's a good description,
right,
actually. Yeah. He's evil Elvis.
He
come
is.
On.
It was, and it worked. Because, you know, he stole a lot of shit from Elvis and Jim Morrison, and I was into The Doors, so he stole a lot of shit from Elvis too, and it was all.
Had I known we were gonna talk about Danzig,
yeah.
There are two bits of absolute fucking brilliance on the internet relating to Danzig that you know what we're gonna do, we're gonna put them in the show notes.
Okay,
we're gonna put them in the show notes.
Okay.
One is a duet with Shakira.
Yes, I've seen. Well, I think I posted it. I don't know if that's
I because yeah yes yes, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a duet.
It's a duet,
yeah.
Dude, it's fabulous.
It's a faux duet.
Don't ruin it for the people.
All right.
It's wonderful.
It's great.
It's fantastic.
It's freaking awesome.
And the second one is the Danzig shopping list.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, it's it's fantastic. So anyway, continue with your Danzig story.
Yeah, so Danzig, and then Danzig 3 was okay. It had some okay tracks, but he started to veer a little bit from the established sound of Danzig. So in, I guess, 94, 95, he came out with Danzig 4, which featured the single Can't Speak.
Right.
Which was sort of kind of like a, I don't want to say mellow, but it was a down-tempo industrial sort of thing, because he was kind of trying, I think that was at the time that like Nine Inch Nails had blown up with the Downward Spiral,
right.
And Filter had come out, and then all these other, you remember Gravity Kills?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And
yeah.
Anyway, they all came out about the same time, and this song, which got pretty decent alternative radio play, was just such a departure from everything else before. It had this really...
It's No Mother.
No, well, that's...
It's not.
No.
It's No Mother.
No.
It's No Twist of Cane.
No. Oh, Twist of Cane. I freaking right? love that shit.
Yeah, dude.
You know what, though? My favorite song, I think, off of that, that was on Danzig 1, was Possession. There's something about the guitar riff. It reminds me of Suicidal Tendencies, and I love
Suicidal Tendencies, dude.
You know, my problem with Suicidal Tendencies, though, is that pretty much they came out with this amazing first album.
Yeah.
And then everything after that was just the same shit.
Right.
And it wasn't as great. And it's funny because, you know, they re-recorded the first album with better production values around, like, I don't know, 95 or 96.
Yeah,
or that
it was like
that.
part of their greatest hits thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I did see them live at the Hunt Ridge in maybe, I want to say, 96 or 97.
Holy shit, how was that?
It was, you know what was really cool was that they had, as the opening band, and I'm doing air quotes here.
Right.
Infectious Grooves. Because,
yep.
Of course, Infectious Grooves is basically like 75% of Suicidal Tendencies.
Yes.
Which was more, it's just like a funk rock band.
Yeah, it was funk.
And so it was Infectious Grooves and Suicidal Tendencies. It was pretty awesome. You know, I don't have that clear memory of it because it was many, many years ago, and I don't remember. I don't even think I was old enough to drink at that time.
Oh, well, certainly you wouldn't have been drinking if you weren't old enough.
Of course not. I follow the letter of the law. Wait, why are we talking about Danzig? Oh.
Why? Right.
So I listened to Can't Speak for the first time in a number of years. And I mean, not Glenn Danzig's greatest moment. But but the weird thing is I just completely forgot about it. I just completely forgot about that song. I still occasionally listen to the Danzig stuff, except the problem is I have it on cassette tape, so it doesn't do me any good.
That makes for a difficult listening experience.
It does. I have so much stuff on cassette that I'm like, oh, well, I'm okay to get a digital download of it for no cost because it's a backup, right?
Right. No,
I bought it.
I seriously, dude, I have just a stack of cassette tapes of shit that's out of print,
right.
Shit that you just can't find anymore, a lot of hair metal.
I have to be honest, I've been tempted to buy the there's a Power Ballads like CD set I think they've been advertising on TV, and I was like, I know I can get these songs, you know, I could get the song list and like go download them somewhere,
right,
legally,
yeah,
but I was like, man, you know, that's a pretty sweet selection.
There's some solid stuff on there, dude, like, and that's the thing. When I was still in Colorado, I knew this girl, and this was not that long ago. This was like 6 years ago, 7 years ago. So I guess it's getting on.
Right.
But not for the sake of this story.
No.
It's not. Who was just fucking into 80s hair metal.
Like straight up, like unironic.
Not ironic, no bullshit, just was into 80s hair metal. Like that's what she was into. No time, no love for anything else.
What's her age? Is she approximately the same age as us?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, no, she's definitely in our age range. Yeah, no, it wasn't like retro thing.
So
it wasn't
is this someone
anything.
Who was just into it since high school and never got out of it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, she was fully into it in high school and just never transitioned out. Just wild. I mean, like, it's totally singular. I've never met anybody else like that. Ever. I've known some people who were into it, like, ironically.
Right.
You know, like, they're gonna break out, like, the Faster Pussycat t-shirt or whatever. And, by the way, great fucking band. Love the Faster Pussycat. That's some filthy fucking L.A. hair metal. Dug it. Curiously enough, you can find members of that band here.
Oh yeah,
in the Vegas.
Oh yes,
all over
this
the place.
This seems to be the place where hair metal goes to die.
It doesn't go to die.
Well,
dude.
To
that's
live
the
on,
fucking
I guess.
Problem. It just struggles. It just crawls around.
It's interesting because we have musicians here from hair metal bands who now play in like cover bands here in town.
Yep,
and I'm not gonna name any.
Nope, we're not even gonna get into that. But just know that they are here.
They're here. If you're looking for your favorite like B level hair metal
yep.
musician from the 80s, they probably live in Vegas.
Yes, they
and
do.
And they're probably playing at a lounge on the Strip.
Yep. Yep.
So
absolutely.
There's your insider tip from the Mikey Vegas and PJ Perez.
Yeah, seriously, that's some inside Vegas shit right there.
Yeah.
What Danzig? Oh, the thing that I always, you were talking about Can't Speak. The only thing that I ever remember about that, I remember two things about Can't Speak, and they're both relating to the video. Okay.
Okay.
Those fucking contacts, those black all over contacts. Right.
Okay.
And I caught like a making of that video
really?
At one point.
I don't even remember the video.
And got to listen to Glenn Danzig whine like a little tiny fucking baby about the total eye coverage black contacts.
See, this is the difference between Glenn Danzig and, let's say, Henry Rollins. Both, well, not that the
that,
two,
that's the fucking
well, no.
difference, dude.
No, let me get here. But speaking of which, yesterday was Henry Rollins' 49th
yes, indeed.
Birthday.
Yes, indeed.
So a shout out to Hank.
And a second shout out to his neck.
Yes. Which it has been diminishing over the years, but
it has.
You can't fault the guy. He's
no.
almost 50.
No, dude, that dude's
and he'll
in,
still kick your fucking
he, that
ass.
That dude is in better shape than anybody else I
be.
Know,
yeah.
and certainly better than the two of us.
That's sad.
And he's a better talker.
Right, much better.
I mean, that dude can throw down
on
a microphone.
I stood up at the House of Blues, no seats, to watch him talk for 3 hours straight last time I saw him. And you know what? It was worth it.
Fucking worth it every single time.
It was
every single time. That dude is amazing.
But Henry Rollins and Glenn Danzig. Henry Rollins and Glenn Danzig are both physically generally known as being buff dudes.
Right.
Although Danzig's like 5'4".
Right.
Or 5'6". Or he's a little,
he's not a big cat.
He's a short guy. And actually, Henry Rollins isn't that tall.
I was just going to say, Hank isn't that big.
I've met Rollins, and he's not... I mean, he's taller than Glenn, but he's probably not any taller than me.
Right.
And I'm... about 5'9", 5'10", yeah. depending on which day. Or which shoes, I guess.
Right.
They're both, you know, tough guys. Tough,
right.
Tough punk guys.
Right.
Tough old punk guys. But Glenn Danzig is, it's all front with him.
Well, you've seen the video of him getting laid out on his ass, right? Of him just getting fucking cold cocked backstage.
Heard about it.
Okay, so third Danzig link in the show notes. We're going to find the video of Glenn getting laid the fuck out and people laughing at him. Like, that's the sad part,
think,
is that he gets knocked the fuck out
that.
And then people point and giggle.
Right.
Yeah.
No one would do that to Henry Rollins.
Fuck no.
They couldn't.
No.
That shit would be taken
no,
care of.
No, because Hank can
up.
Take a fucking punch. I mean, I've never seen him
right.
Take a punch, but I guess that's the second thing, right? Is that Hank, doesn't put himself in a situation
no
to be that kind of prick where someone would want to try to lay him out. Why would he do that?
The worst someone would want to do with Henry Rollins is have like a war of words with him.
Right, right. Yeah,
and
you're
that's
gonna have
where
a
he's
verbal,
at,
verbal
you know?
Disagreement with him.
He knows he's almost 50 years old. He knows he doesn't have to deal with that, you know, kind of petty shit anymore.
Right, right.
Know? And he's open and receptive to. You know, differentiating points of opinion.
Right, absolutely. No, and he knows how to settle it like an adult
right.
with his words.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, shit-talking and aggression from, you know, little mini Wolverine man.
Wow. Is he still making records?
God only knows. Last I saw, because it had to do with that goddamn Shakira link. I got on a tear about Danzig, right?
Right.
And last I saw, he actually had his own little comic imprint and was doing.
Oh
that
god,
stuff.
That was a long time ago though.
Yeah, but that was
Veronica,
dude. That was like
I think it's called.
Yeah, something
yeah.
like that. That was like the last thing
it was
that
basically
I saw from
like
him, though.
Erotic horror comics. That's the only way I could really describe. And you know what? It came out at the time in the 90s when there was just shit comics out. There was just all... It was
right.
all... God, that's a whole nother episode.
Right. Yeah. No, and we probably need to move on.
I stopped collecting comics from like 91 to 2005 or something like that because it was so bad.
Right.
That's a long break.
Yeah, that is a long
break. And of course,
and
I start again after turning 30, so that makes a lot of fucking sense.
Well.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Should we move on?
I think we probably should.
What's next on the? Are we ready to talk about music?
God, we can. You know what? It's a coin toss, BJ. It's a coin toss, and it's a coin toss between.
Or should we do Ask the Awesome?
It's a coin toss between Ask the Awesome, which is fucking mind-boggling this week, and music. So, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do music.
So it must be time for us to talk about music.
Music?
Yes, yeah, music. No, you decided on the music.
Time.
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to do music this time and leave Ask the Awesome for the end. Yeah.
The big finish.
Big finish. Big finish. You got to keep them to the end.
Let's talk about Drag the River.
Let's talk about Drag the River. We talked about him briefly, an hour and 28 minutes ago?
You know what? Actually, it's only been 49 minutes.
Are you fucking joking me?
We might get this in less than an hour 15.
We're going to do it. We're going to get on it. All right. Drag the River, one of my favorite bands. They are from Fort Collins, Colorado. They are fantastic. They are, an alt-country band is the easiest way to categorize them. I find them to be absolutely fantastic. You've got all kinds of different people that have rotated through this band over the years. The primary songwriters are John Snodgrass, who is in another band called Armchair Martian before that you may or may not have heard of. Actually, one of the tracks that I selected today is actually an Armchair Martian cover by Drag the River, which is pretty fantastic. And then
he gave up on writing new songs. He's like, hey, this is from my other band.
No. That brother is prolific when it comes to songwriting, and they're all quality. The primary songwriters, and I'm probably wrong again, whatever, fucking sue me. What are you going to do? Nobody listens anyway. We're
Google
way too far
it.
In. Yeah, Google it. John Snodgrass, who's fantastic, and Chad Price, who most people would know as the lead singer for the band All, who took over fronting the Descendants for Milo Ackerman.
Interesting.
All right. I didn't know that. And now I think if I'm correct, I think JJ Nobody from the Nobodies is still in the band right now, though he maybe not. And then Basie Casey, I believe, is still up in there, but we'll see. Well, the lineup rotates.
Pocket full of awesome, America's least researched podcast.
You know what? It's not. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit about the people in these bands.
No.
You know, people seem to like our take on this stuff. I've got three tracks from these guys. These guys are playing at the Freakin' Frog on Wednesday, sometime between 5 in the evening and 1 a.m., I'm sure. I don't know.
I'm going to say closer to
probably closer
11 o'clock.
To the 1 a.m. mark.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know who they're playing with, and I don't care. I've gotten into more trouble at these guys' shows and to the tunes of these guys playing on record players and CD players and whatever than any other band ever. Dude, this is the soundtrack to getting into trouble for me. And I guess the first track would be Disbelieve.
That was Drag the River with Disbelieve, one of Mikey Vegas's selections this week on Pocket Full of Awesome.
Pocket Full of Awesome. Again, you know, it's jangly. You got, like, seven dudes playing various instruments. I don't know. It's fantastic. The records are good, but the live show is amazing. The live show is fantastic, and it's worth every penny, which usually isn't too much either. It's usually almost always cheap. Lots of good memories attached to that. And actually, you know what? Let's do the cover. The cover's actually not fine.
Okay.
This was originally recorded by John Snodgrass's other band, Armchair Martian. And this is kind of a little more countrified take on a pretty fantastic song. Western wearing polished hair, talking to stare.
That was Drag the River with Not Fine, which is a cover of what was this man? I've been drinking.
It's like, okay. The other band was Armchair Martian.
Armchair Martian. And how does Drag the River's take vary from Armchair Martian's?
You know, it's interesting because obviously John sings both, right? The Armchair Martian version's a little more up tempo. The live version of the Drag the River cover of the Armchair Martian song. And if you can map that out, grab your little piece of paper and your pencil and draw that that little picture out. It's actually a lot closer. It's actually a lot closer to the original. The original Armchair Martian was like a three-piece. So, you know, you're talking about just kind of standard power trio deal going on there. You know, the instrumentation on the Drag the River version is a little finer and it's a little fuller also because, you know, you just have more people.
Right.
And I gotta say, I'm a sucker for slide guitar. I'm fascinated by it. It's just, I don't know, nothing really sounds more like Americana to me. Like, two things that just sound absolutely Americana to me are mandolin and slide guitar. And I don't know why, but, and maybe it's like that bluegrassy kind of deal or whatever, but like, when it comes to American music, like, that's it. And I'm not talking about, like, Violent Femmes American music.
Right.
You know, but, like...
Which featured neither slide guitar nor mandolin.
Neither, because, again, they are a three-piece.
Right.
Very stripped down.
Right.
You know, so it's a little fuller and in a little more lax on the tempo, I guess. Though live, it's a little different animal. And you can tell... The other thing here is that this comes actually off of a later Drag the River record. I believe this is off of Chicken Demos.
That's what it said in the iTunes listing.
Right. And so, you know, and you can tell the production quality has varied. Hobo's Demos was very, very stripped down. It, you know, you could tell that it was done very, very quick and
hence the name Hobo's Demos.
Right, although that's kind of a misnomer. But whatever, it makes no difference. Fantastic records. If you can find them, go get them, by all means. And
are they hard to find?
They're less hard to find now. How about that? There are, as with any good road band, and these guys are just fucking road warriors. With any good band, there are a lot of stories. Like, evidently, the entire first pressing of one of their records, which name escapes me at this point, got hijacked someplace in the Midwest. Like, it just disappeared out of their touring rig.
Right.
And so, like, the entire first pressing of this, of one of the records, it just fucking disappeared out into the ether. Right? Somebody just jacked it. And so, like, you know, there are these, like, mythical copies of, you know, of original pressings and whatever out there. They're fantastic. You know, like I said, Front Range of Colorado, Fort Collins. It's a great music town. You know, it's fantastic. You were talking about Henry Rollins earlier. Bill Stevenson, right? Black Flag?
Yes.
Up in the House?
Yes.
Fort Collins?
Yes. Really?
Owns the Blasting Room?
I didn't know that.
Up there? Yeah. Yeah. Which is where I'm pretty sure a lot of this was recorded.
Blasting Room?
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, it's just weird. It's a great musical area You know what I'm saying? It's just a fucking wonderful place to be if you're into music, of all kinds. So, and these guys are definitely part of that. And I've rambled on enough. So let us switch gears with the Drag the River.
We're gonna switch gears quite drastically, and we're gonna head to the other side of the pond.
Right.
And we're gonna talk about White Lies.
Yes.
White Lies is from the UK, and they're a relatively new band. Their first album came out last January, and I'm eagerly awaiting a second album, though I've heard nothing of them. And they don't make it to the States that much. They did a brief opening tour with someone last spring, and that was, I think, the last U.S. dates they had lined up, and they have some this year, and they're, of course, not coming to Vegas.
Oh, what a shock.
This is a recurring theme.
What a shock.
Hey, at least Drag the River, which it probably by the time this episode gets released, you'll have already attended the Drag the River show at the Freakin' Frog.
Oh, I would hope so.
So it's not like we're telling people, hey, go check them out at Freakin' Frog.
Right.
Unless by some miracle I get this edited down before Thursday, which I highly doubt.
You don't know what that means. What? You're just staring at me. It's okay. Well, you know what? Fuck it. Show notes. I'll link that shit too. I will put a link to the edit and that.
Take a picture of the band and we'll post it somewhere on Facebook.
We'll Facebook it?
Facebook it.
With the facey spaces,
yes,
and the me
no
tubes.
No one looks at the blog. They go to the blog because we send them to the link and then they click subscribe and they never look at it again.
Fair enough.
Which, by the way, www.pocketfulofawesome.com is where you can get the whole, there's links all over the place. If you want to subscribe to us in your favorite news reader, you can do that. If you want to subscribe to us on iTunes, you can do that.
Yes, indeed.
If you don't want to subscribe to us, you suck.
No, that's not true. You can just stream it off the MySpace.
That's true.
Not MySpace. What the fuck? Welcome to 2000.
Yeah.
With the MySpace.
We don't have a MySpace. Don't look for us on MySpace.
You could. No. By all means, go look. You're just not going to find it. It's not there.
Do you have a MySpace account still?
Off the Facebook.
Mike?
I probably do. I never used the MySpace. You know what it is? I don't want to interact with people. That's the problem. The Facebook thing, I'm doing out of necessity at this point.
It's kind of become like having a phone number.
You have
to have it.
Right. And, you know, really, and like that's, and there, I mean, dude, there's so much fucking drama with the Facebook getting the friend requests from the people that you don't want to fucking talk to.
Right. But you don't know how to approach
that. And it's like, you know, you could ignore that shit. You could send them a nasty message back. You could do whatever. But chances are, I mean, seriously, if you're part of the reason that I left the fucking state where I grew up, I don't want to fucking talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I didn't like you then, what the fuck makes you think that I would want something to do with you now? Like, I am nothing if not just one big grudge-holding machine.
Wow.
Dude, my memory is fucking rock solid and long, sir. I'm horrible.
I am reminded of that nearly daily.
Right?
Every time anything mentioning Who Wants to Be a Millionaire comes up.
That's right.
Watching that episode of the IT Crowd with you in the same room was painful.
How was that, by the way? Yeah, was that a minor gut-wrenching experience for you?
I guess we haven't talked about that.
We haven't actually talked about it. We made reference to it.
Yeah. You know, people who've read our profile for Pocket Full of Awesome on either the blog or on Facebook have probably seen that it says something about PJ causing Mike to lose $75,000 on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yes, indeed.
And you probably thought that was a joke.
It's not.
It's not a joke.
It's not a fucking joke, gang.
For some reason, Mike figured I would be a good phone-a-friend for his stint on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And,
yes, indeed.
I, for some reason, agreed to it.
Yeah.
Knowing damn well that I know dick about dick unless I can Google it.
Which was the point.
Right, but I'll get to that in a second.
Which was the point.
So, Mike gets on there, and you were at that, I don't know how the structure works exactly. Will you set that up briefly?
The problem is, I was like one of the first with the new rules, because they changed their rules, and they changed the structure of the show, okay? Suffice to say that I had made it to the $100,000 level.
Right.
Okay. I was locked in at 25 grand.
Right.
So there was no way in hell I was walking out of there with less than 25.
Right. So he was going to get that no matter what. But he was at the $100,000, where it was one of those, you either get it and you get 100,000 or you lose it and you take your 25 and go home.
Right.
Which 25,000 is, you know, even I assume after taxes and stuff, and still it's better than zero.
Right, right.
Which is why Mike and I are sitting here doing this, dude, instead of, you know, whatever.
And I said it very clearly, and this is the thing, and I will bust PJ's balls endlessly. We will be older men, cruising around with our canes and our walkers and whatever the hell. And I will still be busting his balls about it. You can well guarantee that, because he hasn't near... he's got a long life ahead of him to live this down and work this off.
Drinking like this on a Sunday, I don't know.
Well, then I need to bust extra hard. No, and the thing is, I will bust his balls endlessly about this, but I said it on the show, and I'll say it again now, that it was never my money. It was never my money, ever. And that was the attitude that I took with it.
So his question...
Which is forever seared into both of our memories. Am I right, dude?
Right. Was, what does moon dust smell like?
Right.
And,
we had it narrowed down. We had it narrowed down to two.
He had taken the 50-50, I think, and he had it down to two.
I didn't. I don't think I'd taken the 50-50 on that one. No.
So this was just the phone a friend.
Yeah, this was just the phone a friend, because I knew it had to be one or the other. Like, the other two were so absurd and out of line.
The options were mothballs.
And burnt gunpowder.
Burnt gunpowder. That was basically your best options.
Those were the two. Yeah, those were the two. The other two were irrelevant. The other two were definitely not.
So
I get
the call from Meredith Vieira.
Mare Bear, as I like to call her.
Right.
The Mare Bear.
Because you guys are like that.
We're tight like that. She got me a glass of water, dude.
That's nice.
It was fantastic. It is. The PAs were off doing whatever the hell, and she's like, you look thirsty. Let me get you a glass of water. And she went and got me a glass of water.
I do the same thing every Sunday.
She's, well, but you're no Mare Bear.
Whatever.
You don't have the potential.
Yeah, but
to
guess
be...
what? I'm still talking to you.
That's true. I.
When was the last time Meredith called you?
She, you know what? She sent me a note about you. Not a joke. She said, she seriously, I shit you not, PJ.
Pick your phone a friend's better next time.
She sent me a note naming you by name and saying to not hold it against you. I shit you not.
Thanks, Mare Bear.
Yeah, Mare Bear's looking out. She's looking out for you, buddy.
So I get the call, and I've got Google ready. I got Wikipedia ready. I knew this call was coming. I was ready to go. And let me tell you something. When you get that call, and you're like relatively live on a national television game show, it's not as easy as it sounds.
No.
It is not like... Oh, because, you know, Google takes what, like 0.02 seconds to return results?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is that it takes that time to return results, but it doesn't take that time to differentiate between the correct and incorrect results. So among the answers on the first page of Google results, when I did type in moon dust smell or something like that, among those was burnt gunpowder. Well, I don't think it said burnt gunpowder, but it was something about gunpowder. But also among those was, I think, mothballs. So there was no differentiation, really, unless you went deeper. Well, you don't have them. You had, what, 30 seconds?
It's like 30 seconds, but that's including the, hey, how you doing, and whatever the hell.
That includes Mike reading the question.
Right.
And reading all the possible answers. So by the time you get done with that, you have literally like 11 seconds left. By the time the average fingers get through typing the Google search and going to the results, that's it. You don't have time to look to see which results are right. And I just went on the gut, and the gut...
The gut failed. The gut failed. Was wrong, brother. The gut was wrong.
I think I said mothballs, right?
Yeah, you did. You said mothballs.
And,
you said mothballs.
And Mike only got a free 25,000 instead of a free 100,000.
Right. Right. Which could have changed my life. Just for the record, 100 grand could have changed my life. 25 grand?
Really? What would you be doing right now?
Meredith Vieira.
Really?
No.
Is that like a...
I'm kidding. Yeah, it comes with the prize pack.
Wait, what were we talking about?
I don't know. We're talking about music.
Okay, so White Lies. I have no idea how we got to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire from White Lies. So their album came out last year, their debut album called To Lose My Life, which is also a song on the album. I got sent White Lies CD by a publicist for their, I don't know, it wasn't for their record company, but some publicist dude sent it to me. And I was like, I get a lot of CDs in my P.O. box, and a lot of them are crap. And this one, I don't know why I decided to give it a spin, because honestly, normally I just kind of set them in a pile and then try to give them away to children.
Halloween is awesome at Casa Awesome.
It is. You get shitty indie rock CDs. But I listened to White Lies. We talked about my classic rock affection in high school.
Uh-huh.
Led Zeppelin, The Doors, Pink Floyd, etc. So not all classic rock, but the more psychedelic-ish stuff. So on the other side of that was also the sort of new romantic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Cure, Depeche Mode, New Order,
right,
etc. The whole... I think that's like the trifecta of British new,
yeah,
wave-ish.
No,
stuff
absolutely.
The 80s. I mean,
absolutely.
That's it right there. Depeche Mode, The Cure, and New Order.
I would break that out into
Echo.
A square with either Echo and the psychedelic first.
Well, this is where I'm actually going.
Okay.
So White Lies. Anyway, White Lies falls into, I'd say, that somewhere between the psychedelic furs and Echo and the Bunnymen. The album. You know, there's been a lot of bands, and you brought this up last time, who pretty much fell right into that Joy Division sort of mold over the last few years.
Yes.
Block Party,
that kind of like
She Wants Revenge, etc.
Dark,
dance
electro
music.
Dance,
yes.
Whatever stuff.
But the cool thing about White Lies is that you can't even tell that this album wasn't recorded in 1986. Like, you would have no idea. And what I like is that you kind of feel like you've heard this before, but you can't quite place it, so it makes it feel kind of comfortable. It
no, that's not necessarily
familiar.
A bad thing.
And I like that, to be honest. And what's nice is, at least on this first album, is that they're consistent with that.
Right.
But the weird thing is I can't finger it to where I'm like, oh, that directly, like there were some tracks on She Wants Revenge the last couple of albums where I was like, that's a Bauhaus riff or you know, that's a Susie fucking...
Right,
like,
right.
With White Lies, and which is not a bad thing, by the way. I love She Wants Revenge, and I'm not going to, you know, like, I love them up and down. Honestly, have loved pretty much everything they've done, including their last EP, which was a complete departure and went from being this sort of, like, post-punk dark wave thing to being this sort of, like, Prince meets Justin Timberlake thing, which is insane.
You're creeping me out right now.
Listen, but you know what? They made some great fucking music.
Well, dude, nothing wrong with that.
And you know, and from what I can tell, it's going to be going back the other direction for the next album. But
right.
Anyway, we're not talking about She Wants Revenge right
sure.
now. We're talking about White Lies. The singer, and I don't know if he's the lyricist or not. This is how much research I've done into this. He uses a really interesting framing device, and that's overly descripting everything. And he really paints a picture with his words. Yeah, one of my favorite tracks is called "Unfinished Business."
Okay.
And it's told from the perspective of a guy who's just been killed by his girlfriend.
Interesting.
And it's, you know, the thing is, I don't want to play that track, though, because one of the things White Lies does is they build up the songs.
Okay.
So if I just played a snippet, you wouldn't
right,
get
it's not
going to
make any sense.
What
yeah.
I am going to do is I'm going to play another song that uses the same technique of being really descriptive in the lyrics. It's being really literal as opposed to being really poetic.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And this one's called From the Stars, and it's where he tells another story, but a different one from what I was telling before. And I'll go ahead and let this roll for a bit, and then
yeah.
we'll talk about it
no,
after.
No, it's fine.
So this is From the Stars, from White Lies' debut album, To Lose My Life.
I saw a friend that I once knew at a funeral. He took the time out to be seen. Kept glancing to the hour hand on the gold watch that he'd been given by a magazine. He didn't cry when the priest gave the sermon. Just pulled up the wooden collar on his fleece. Crossed his arms.
going into the chorus a little bit there on White Lies from the Stars. And yeah, it's it really puts you in this sort of scene. You're like, you're at the funeral,
mm-hmm.
and you're in his car. And later on in the song, the guy is found in the hotel room by one of the maids, and he's cuddled in a corner. And like, you're there, and like, real. Right. This is one of those albums.
It's very cinematic.
It is. Overall, you really have to listen to it on a rainy day.
Right.
Like, it's like when it's cloudy and overcast here in Vegas, which. It doesn't happen that often, except in January, apparently.
Right.
And February.
Right.
But when it does, this is the album I put on, and I'm like, I'm right there.
Right.
And it's really weird, because it took a while for this to grow in on me. I put it into my music player just to review it, and I reviewed it on my blog like a year ago when it came out, and... Then I realized, I'm like, I like every track on this album. There's not a song on here I don't like. I can listen to this on repeat for a while. And, you know, it's not that often that I can do that with bands. There's
right.
very few. So that's somewhat indicative of the sound. I'd say half the album is this sort of atmospheric thing that builds up and then it comes in, and the drums really come in. And it's all very... I mean, all that heavy reverb.
And, right. And especially on the drums.
Yes.
With that just like...
Yes. Yeah. And it's... I don't think they do... They do almost no sequencing or anything here. I mean, it's all live. It's, you know, like guitar, bass, drums, and keyboard and vocals. And that's it. But there's a lot of effects.
Right.
That gives it that atmospheric sound, but it also gives it that 1985, 86
Oh, no,
sound.
And it does. It absolutely... That record could have come out between 85 and 87.
Right.
And...
But what I like is that it's pure in that way. It, like... Right. It doesn't pretend. It doesn't try to update anything. It's just like, this is... And that guy's got a really deep, resonant voice, and he's this, you know, skinny white dude
right.
from, like, the middle of, you know, probably some farm in the United Kingdom. So I'm going to play Farewell to the Fairground, which is one of my favorite songs from the album that is a little bit more upbeat, I guess, even though it's...
Wow.
Well, it's upbeat musically, not lyrically.
Right.
But,
New Order style upbeat.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Folks, I will just say this. We're trying something a little new this week. PJ is dying on the floor now. It just took both of us to try to figure out this bit of gear that we're trying to work with here.
Wow.
And the saddest part is we're both fairly, like, technically apt people.
Yeah.
Like, we've usually got a pretty good handle on it. Maybe it's the drinking. I don't know.
People relatively normally pay us to do technical
things. Like this, yeah. Today, maybe it's because it's Valentine's Day. Maybe it's because we are woefully unprepared for this particular episode. I don't know. We're having a rough time today, gang. Like, I mean, make no mistake.
So there's this deck, this virtual deck A that the song's supposed to play in. And I click on this, and the song plays. Okay, everything's cool. But then I notice, as I'm trying to fade it out, that the volume's not even up.
Nothing's
on
happening.
Zero. So I go, I'm like, okay, well, I'll put the volume back up and take it down. No, it doesn't change anything. It's not even on the right track. So I'm like hitting stop on every wind. There's nothing. And Mike looks over, he's like, but I guess there's a main, I guess, I don't know. If
I don't know.
Control.
I don't even know what the hell happened. I just noticed that. I'm looking at, mind you, we're sitting face to face. We're sitting across from each other. Okay. So I just peeked up over the screen. Okay? So I'm looking at the thing upside down, right?
And we have just lost cabin pressure.
For the second time, at least, if not more.
And like 6 listeners.
Oh, God.
Out of our 10.
Out of our 10, right? Which, by the way, we exceeded expectations.
We did.
Though. We expected 2, and we got like 10.
We did.
So, you know.
Thanks, guys.
And a lot of...
Thanks, Mom.
Right. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom and significant others that didn't even listen to the whole thing.
No, Sarah doesn't listen.
Oh, PJ, seriously? What? Danny didn't even make it. She tried to make it through the whole thing. She couldn't.
Well,
she lives with me,
dude.
To
be fair, yeah, they have to listen to our voices all the time.
All the time, because we're in love with the sound of our own voice.
As we've been told.
We've established that. So at any rate, we're going to work it out.
Yeah.
We will work it out. Maybe we need some practice.
Right.
Maybe we shouldn't have drank so much.
We got off to a good start last week because I think we had moderation in our drinking.
Moderation?
And also, I think we were actually, despite our underpreparedness, we were actually better prepared than we were this week. Because bear in mind that last week, I put all the samples on ACD and had it all lined up and ready to go.
But the samples haven't been a problem this week. It's not the samples.
Well, it's the equipment that's playing the samples.
Well, I'm guessing it's the user who's playing the equipment that's playing the samples.
All I'm saying is...
I offered.
I'm going to blame it on the guy that trained me.
I offered, really? All that training? The extensive amount of training that we did?
Let's just blame the drinking.
Could we blame the drinking?
That's really the best thing
I think we should blame the drinking.
And I think we need to probably have 2 glasses of water in here from now on.
At least, because I know I'm parched.
Yeah. Well, we're at an hour 32 now.
Shocking, right? Like, and here we were talking.
By the time you guys listen to this will probably be like an hour 15, but...
Right.
Because you have no idea how much crap we have to take out of this. Really no idea. Leave it. Just leave it. So you guys are going to deal with a little bit of pops and hisses and a little bit of not...
Yeah,
noise.
And we will work it out. And that's the thing, because, I mean... Really, with this, you get what you pay for.
Right.
Am I right, folks?
And what are you paying?
Right.
Exactly.
So, White Lies.
I'm hoping that they'll be recording something new soon. And to be honest, I'm fine if it sounds just like the first album. Because a lot of times bands will come out, Killers, and they'll have an album that, I really enjoy Killers. And by the time that they get to the second album, they think that they need to somehow prove that they can do, something different from the first album, Killers. And it just really isn't as enjoyable, Killers. And I'm hoping that White Lies doesn't do that like other bands, Killers, might do. Or might have done.
Might have done.
So
theoretically, in the past.
Theoretically, Killers. In the past, Killers. Hey! Let's take user questions.
User questions, really?
Let's take listener questions.
That's a tough label, buddy. Okay, so this is the question that we're answering.
By the
this
way,
week.
If you have a question for us,
and please do have a question,
we'll
for
be
us.
Happy to answer it. Air quotes on the air,
right?
Leave a comment on our blog, on our Facebook page,
hashtag it on Twitter.
Yes, use the Pocket Full of Awesome hashtag. That's Pocket Full, PocketFull of Awesome.
Yes.
Or just at Mikey Vegas or at PJ Perez, and we will happily answer your probing questions on the air.
Yeah,
but instead we're going to answer a vaguely ridiculous question on the show.
Vaguely ridiculous, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which came from
that would be Michael Vasquez.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you can blame him, and I'm just gonna read this verbatim because I don't need any little people or dwarves or evidently half the cast of TLC at this point. And by cast, I mean people who have their own shows on the channel. And you'll understand here in just a moment. And we'll talk about this, too, in the not answer to this not question.
Right.
So the question is, do midgets, again, his words, not mine, reading directly, have their own line of clothes? If so, would they have midget-sized pockets? And if that, how can they fit a regular-sized wallet in them?
Wow.
I just take a second, let that sink into your ear parts. Wow. Just let it get up in there.
Should we address these individually? Because these are really three questions tied into one general theme.
Right. Which would be little people.
Right.
Or
of all flavors and colors.
Of all flavors and colors.
I would say sizes, but they're all little.
But they're all little. Zing. Oh. That's what you go with on that.
I just kind of went, went where my finger went.
Was that a scene change?
Well, the problem? I don't know.
But the problem is what? The problem is that those things...
We have just lost cabin pressure.
That's right. More appropriate.
Our one midget listener has now departed.
And I guess this is the thing.
Should I edit out the midget baiting like I did with the race baiting last
the
week?
Midget baiting? We weren't actually race baiting. No, we weren't. And that's the problem, is that we weren't. We were well within our purview, but when we had to take out a whole segment, of the last podcast, some of the commentary didn't make sense anymore, so it just sounded fucking foul.
Right.
Like, it just sounded like some harsh, awful fucking bigotry, which couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
And certainly doesn't reflect PJ or PJ's views or my views, right. I don't think.
No.
Unless you're some kind of secret bigot hate monger.
I say as I look at the Miles Davis poster over Mike's head.
Right. Right.
Which is across the room from the Henry Rollins poster. Signed by Henry Rollins, by the way.
I see that.
He told me to get in the band, you bastard.
I
because I told him that get in the band was a big influence on me as a kid. Not as a kid, but like as a teenager.
As a kid.
Or the
whatever.
Young adult,
it doesn't whatever. Matter. Okay, so back to the question. Back to the Ask the Awesome. One, I do believe that there are specific little people sized clothes.
Where would you get them?
I don't know. I don't know any little people. Maybe if some little people are out there.
I went to high school with a girl whose brother is a little person.
Uh-huh.
I believe he's a dwarf.
A dwarf. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, there's a whole semantic game going on with this whole deal.
Which is why we're even though we didn't pose the question, I guess we're going to use little people in general. And we apologize if we offend anyone.
Yeah,
by that.
And that's the thing. Like, I understand that it's a touchy subject. I mean, like, really, right. I do.
It's kind of like saying full size people. Like, if you're a full-size person, you could be any variety of type of person.
Right. I mean, there's a big difference between me and an average-sized person.
Right.
You know?
Mike's pretty much in between, like, little people and regular
people. To be honest, I'm about three apples high. I'm actually Smurf-sized. I was actually
produced... You know what was always really kind of weird about Smurfs being three apples high?
What's that?
Is if you watch the cartoon...
Uh-huh.
They're not three apples high.
No,
the
they're
cartoon.
Not.
They're maybe an apple.
Maybe. There may be like three crab apples
high. If you compare them to like Gargamel's cat. I don't remember Gargamel's cat's name.
Azrael, dude.
Wow,
the cat's name is I had a cat named Azrael.
I thought it was bad for me remembering Gargamel.
No, dude. I actually had a cat named Azrael.
Wow.
That's why I know that.
Well, good. So Azrael,
well, good.
The cat, was taller than any Smurf by, I'd say, at least double.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if you think about how tall three apples are, because your average apple is, what, 3 to 4 inches? That would make a Smurf like almost a foot.
Right.
And Smurfs were not a foot. They could be held in the hand of Gargamel.
Right.
Which would probably
multiples
make them
in the hand of Gargamel,
one apple,
if I remember correctly.
One apple.
Right.
At the most.
Right.
So whoever came up with that three apples tall thing, total friggin' nonsense.
Right.
Either
well,
that or they need to get a new roller.
That was a French cartoon, wasn't
right.
it?
Right. It was some guy with a P.
There was a there was an accent. Yeah, something like that. Whatever. So it would not surprise me in the slightest that there were a line of clothes for little people.
Right. I still want to know where you can get. And if anyone knows if there's like specialty stores, online retailers,
yep.
Please let us know. Write to us.
By all means. And obviously, if there are an actual line of clothes, you can well bet that their pockets are sized accordingly.
Right.
That would be kind of absurd to have, you know, like cargo pant-sized pockets on some little people pant or little people-sized pants.
Well, that brings to question, though. So if you're a little person with little person-sized pants.
Yes.
And you wanted, like, a full-size man's wallet. wouldn't you need to have a pocket? And I think that's what Michael might have been asking. Wouldn't you need a pocket to accommodate
If we're talking about the back pockets, right. I think, yeah. Because, again, because there are no little people-sized... I mean, you get the same driver's license.
Right.
You get the same credit card.
Right.
You carry the same money.
You don't get little people money.
No, there's no little people money.
Unless you live in Oz.
Right.
And you're part of the Lollipop Guild.
Wow, dude. That just derailed into... like, just hatred and offensive behavior on your part.
I'm just saying that they probably use different money.
That's true. The currency. Oz. No, it's true. The currency would vary.
I don't think that was established in canon, but.
I don't know. I don't know how familiar you are with the canon, though.
I'm not.
That's the
because
problem.
Because I can't read. I watched the movie. And what I'm saying is midget sized pockets in the clothes. I'm thinking that if the difference between a child-size item that a small person could wear,
right,
and a small person-sized item of clothing would be the pocket size,
the back pockets.
Well, not necessarily the back, because it's not safe for you to keep your wallet in your back pocket, and it's also not good for your back either.
That's a good point. Speaking of, I think I forgot my wallet today.
Well,
I think I'm driving without a license today, buddy.
Hopefully, no one from LVMPD is listening to this.
Next Wednesday when I'm not going to be driving like that.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. They can't get you for, like, past transgressions they didn't observe, right?
They actually have to catch you with that.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're good.
I'm good.
All right. So I think that answered... Well, that actually didn't answer anything, but
it
that
didn't
theorized...
Answer anything, but it was also not a question. There's a problem with the premise.
And I guess the midget-sized pockets, if they have regular-sized pockets, can they fit a regular-sized wallet in them? They should.
They should. Yeah, exactly. If that isn't the case, I think that that's a little fucked up and discriminatory.
Because if you, I don't know what the percentage of the population that's considered little people.
Couldn't
is.
Tell you.
Is it on par with the percent that's gay?
Don't know.
Maybe not that much.
Maybe.
So
let's not.
Say it's 5%.
Cool. Okay.
Think about all the merchandise that is exclusively marketed to the gay population.
That's a hell of a market.
And that's only 10% based on, you know, most reports.
Whatever. Yeah, statistical
shenanigans.
I think
it's more, but the people that admit it, that are out and proud.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Out and proud.
So let's say little people is even 5%. There's still going to be a huge market for specifically catering to them in clothing and things
like that? you would certainly hope so.
Undergarments?
Specific products geared toward that demographic. Absolutely.
So, Michael, thanks for the really retarded question.
Thanks. Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for the, as Rahm Emanuel would say, fucking retarded question.
Right. Or Rush Limbaugh.
Or
whatever.
Rush Limbaugh.
It's okay when he says it, not Rahm Emanuel. We've established that this week.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Pretty much. And if you have a real question, not that, Michael, your question wasn't real.
I mean, it was real.
It was a real question. It appeared in black text on a white background on our screen.
It's true.
So it was sort of real.
It had a question mark at the end of it.
It did. And that, well, you can't just put a question mark at the end of a sentence and make it a
question.
No,
but structurally it was a question.
If I said, Mike, you are awesome, that wouldn't be a question. Even if I put a question mark at
the end. You are awesome, then you would just be from Vegas.
Right.
Because everything ends on the up inflection here, right?
Very true.
Yep. Statements phrased in the form of a question. No, but again, grammatically it is a question and it follows all the criteria of a question. It's just a bad one.
Yes.
There, I passed judgment on it. What are you gonna do? Judgment.
Right.
What?
In the criminal justice system.
No.
That'd been cool if I would have printed out the whole thing and read it.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. Right?
We're not that prepared.
What would have been really awesome was if we could have gotten the announcer to just do that.
That would have been.
Right? We can't afford that.
No. Dick Wolf doesn't owe us any favors. He can't get his people to do our shizzle.
Dick Wolf owes us
By
nothing.
The way, I have to say that Law and Order.
Yes, Law and Order.
The various permutations.
Of all flavors.
Right. Which, did you know they launched one in the UK recently?
What?
Yeah.
Do they wear the wigs?
Yes.
Fuck me.
I am not kidding you. Look online.
Google,
Law and Order, either, I think it's UK or London or something.
Oh, it is so on.
It's slightly different setup, you know, but the same thing.
Well, obviously.
They have, anyway.
We do have one British listener, by the way.
Do we?
We do.
Good. Who? Can I give him a shout out? Her?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'll give him a shout out right now. It's Gavin Bennett, Mr. Sir Gavin Bennett. Gav.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Gav Gav listened to it. He actually he actually made a comment about me saying Alanis. Alanis ironic. Ironic. And that he is going to go ahead and incorporate that into his vernacular.
Good. We're spreading the good word to jolly old England.
Right? Seriously. Seriously, that's across good. The pond, brother.
So Law and Order.
Law and Order.
What I was getting at is I've only watched these shows the last couple of years because the girlfriend is a big fan of the police procedurals.
Yes, the crime drama.
So Law and Order, Criminal Minds, whatever the case. Now, I am a fan of Bones.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Separately from that. But that's only because I catch it at the gym and it has David Boreanaz and I have a total man crush.
Really?
So, yeah.
Really? You're a big fan of the Angel, huh?
Since Buffy, but Angel, I have the box set. The only box set of any show I own is Angel.
Wow.
The entire 5 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. But and it has Emily Deschanel.
Yes. Yes, it does.
It's.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a funny show. But anyway, so Law and Order. I enjoy Law and Order. SVU especially.
Yeah.
Followed by. I would say the Criminal Intent featuring either, damn it.
There were two. There's Chris Knopf.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
D'Onofrio, uh-huh.
Or I like the new ones with Jeff Goldblum because I love me a Jeff Goldblum.
Goldblum. You know, right when they announced that Goldblum was going to be joining the cast, somebody made a comment, and I don't remember where it was, and it doesn't really matter anyway, but the comment was, and it was in relation to D'Onofrio and Goldblum.
Yeah.
And it was bring on the Twitch Fest. Because those two actors, I swear to God, have just made careers out of just fidgety twitchiness.
Yeah.
You gonna get that?
Listen, there's lunch plans being made right now. Jesus Christ. This is important shit.
Obviously.
I gotta eat. I'm a growing boy.
You are a growing boy.
Horizontally.
You're growing out.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I enjoy the Law and Order.
Yes.
For the most part. But I can barely watch, especially Criminal Intent anymore, because the score for the show is so overbearing. Basically, the way that the composer approaches it is to go heavy-handed with the synth strings under every single scene. But it's not like it's subtle and it creeps in at the right moments.
Right.
It's just overbearing over everything everyone says, and it actually diminishes the emotional impact of the scenes. And it's for me, I'm a guy that when I listen to a song, I don't even listen to the lyrics anymore, which is a whole nother thing that I've been bothered about.
Ooh.
But for the most part, I listen to, because I'm a musician,
mm-hmm.
The music hits me, the drums hit me first and then everything else.
Right.
So when I watch a show, I'm really distracted by laugh tracks. I can barely watch a show with a laugh track, especially when it's inappropriately used.
One of the few,
it's almost always inappropriately used.
Right.
One of the few shows on TV that I love, that I will watch,
uh-huh.
is Southland.
Yeah.
Southland, no score.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's very cinema verite, dude. It's very, like, raw.
It's done in a completely documentary flavor.
Right.
But it works because you are just drawn into the world and there's no distractions. So Law and Order, I love the show, especially SVU. But even I've noticed in SVU, this score, because they're all scored by the same guy.
Right.
This just really heavy-handed friggin'.
Oh, dude. It's, they are the kings of the, like, crazy orchestra swell.
Yeah.
And just like. And you're just like, oh my God.
It's just too
stop
much. Like,
it.
You know, there's already overacting on the show.
Right.
Which
well,
I'm
that's
fine
kind of,
with.
That's kind of the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's supposed to be all nervy and.
Right.
And,
you know.
I think it's time to go.
So, it's been another fabulous show here on Pocket Full of Awesome.
In Casa Awesome, in the heart of Awesome City.
We haven't attacked each other yet.
No. No.
I mean, in good or bad ways.
Good or bad ways. No. You know what? I think we're going to save that shit for Sweeps Week.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to take a lesson from Law and Order.
So, remember, you can find Pocket Full of Awesome at pocketfulofawesome.com.
Yep, or at on Facebook at facebook.com/pocketfulofawesome.
Yes.
You can find PJ on Twitter at PJ Perez.
And you can find Mike on Twitter at Mikey Vegas. That's MikeyVegas.
Yes, sir.
And remember, send in your questions and comments. And if you're listening on iTunes or if you have iTunes, just do a little search in their podcast thing in the iTunes store for Pocket Full of Awesome. We're there. Or click on the handy link at our website. And be sure to review and rate. And come back and subscribe and
do whatever.
And whatever.
Love us.
We'll be back next week with other stuff. And that's all we know.
Right. No, we may, you know, you love us. We'll be here.
Right. We'll be violating copyrights left and right next week.
Exactly. Exactly. And making more friends in the small person community.
Exactly. All right.
All right.
That's
gang.
It from the heart of Awesome City.
Pocket Full of Awesome, Episode 2, signing off.
Yeah. I think next next week we need to not drink as much. Oh wait, I gotta